to call upon his holy name. Call upon the name of Yahweh, upon his holy name. Call upon the name of Yahweh, Yahweh, oh.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this 90-minute live radio broadcast. Today is the 21st day of February, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, Call Upon His Name. We dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. By the way, the artist of the song that we were listening to at the beginning of the program here is Jonathan David Brown, and the CD that song comes off of is Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and Aren't We All? Keep him in your prayers, by the way. I'm trying to get a hold of Jonathan to have him come back on the radio show here with me. It was many years ago when I first started on By Yahweh's Design, so that's almost 17 years now. But Jonathan was a guest, and we talked about his wonderful music. But keep him in your prayer, because he's had to overcome adversity, both from the beast in his youth, and then later on, fellow believers, when Jonathan took a lady into his house as his second wife. He took much flack over that. However, the good news was shortly thereafter, the same people who were his detractors came back and apologized for their short-sightedness and their animosity towards what Jonathan had done. So even somebody who creates beautiful music to our Heavenly Father, there was an actual sermon in that 7-minute song. A whole sermon was within that 7 minutes if you were paying attention to what he was saying. So even somebody as gifted as Jonathan, who loves the Father with all of his heart, does the very best to be the man that Yahweh would have him to be, even he goes through persecution, not just by the beast, but by those who claim to believe in the same Father above, claim to know their identity, and yet they came upon him as if he had cut his children in pieces with a knife, because he simply had a heart big enough to take in a lady into his home at the suggestion of his younger wife, by the way, doing what the Bible talks about in the olden days, showing mercy to another. And yet he was put upon by the very people that he was trying to represent, trying to educate, and lift up. It's amazing, isn't it? It reminds me so much of the backbiting, name-calling, mud-slinging that goes on amongst our people. We sit here and we rant and we wail about what the enemy's doing, about what the beast is up to, and yet we don't have to look very far and we can find contention, anger, libel, slander amongst our own people against one another, and often for superficial, inconsequential matters. It just never ceases to amaze me. Now, I did have Pastor Greg Howard was supposed to be on with us today, but unfortunately he was called away. So we will try to have Pastor Greg on with us in a future time. Please keep him in your prayers as well, as all of our warriors and watchmen in these perilous times. But then it struck me as I was preparing for this morning that calling upon his name, and how when we started this program 17 years ago, there were those of this message who gave me a hard time for using Father's name. It just dawned on me that we take it for granted today, but 17 years ago, there weren't very many of us using his name, really. Not a whole lot. Even some of those, quote, leaders, though we now know that they're not truly our leaders, but they claimed to be our leaders back then, who would use all kinds of names for the Father, but they wouldn't call him Yahweh. Always struck me strange as to why not. Now we take it for granted. Now I see it showing up in all kinds of strange places, even recently in the hymnal in a Eastern Orthodox Roman Catholic Church, or I should say Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church. There was a hymn in the middle of the hymnal where Yahweh was used three times in the verses of the hymn. So his name is getting out there. I even heard a black preacher in California a few years back. Not even sure how I even came across that, but it was televised. And he was mentioning the fact that Yahweh's his name. So isn't it funny? 17 years later, we take it for granted. But 17 years ago, it was a struggle. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the perilous times, as 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about our people and their behavior at the end of the age. And so it is. But it just is really, really strange how we want to fight with each other, constantly fight with each other, when we should be unifying. Unifying in the things that hold us together. And instead we search and we actually strain to find dirt on each other. It's as if we get a high by sticking a knife in the back of a brother or sister. I always found that to be strange. Why is that? Where in the Bible does it teach that? Where in your Holy Spirit, your conscience, where does it teach that? That you should get a high from trying to destroy a brother or sister who's living their life according to Father's law to the best of their ability? They have hurt nobody. And yet we attack each other. The enemy doesn't have to work too hard. We do a better job ourselves, don't we? Yeah, we do a pretty damn good job of trying to destroy each other. We got a lot of things to cover this morning, so I want to first of all give a thanks to our listeners and to those of you who support us from time to time. We do thank you very much. If you do wish to donate, you can go to our main website, which is byyahwehsdesign.com, and there on the home page is a button. There's also a lot of articles there. I try to update things from time to time, lots of health information, lots of featured articles, current events, different things like that. If you have a comment or question during the program or after, please send them to this email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com. Now, before we, like I said, get into the multitude of things to discuss here this morning, we want to turn to Exodus chapter 15, starting at verse 2. Yah is my strength and song. Now, when we talk about Yah, it is the shortened form of Yahweh, exactly the way Dan is the shortened form of Daniel. So whenever you hear Yah, it just means I am. When Moses asked the Father, who shall I send him? Who shall I say sent me? He said, tell them, Yah has sent you, the I am. Ego eimi haon in the Greek language. Ego eimi haon, I am the one. So, Yah is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, or El, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is a man of war. No feminine there. Yahweh is his name. He has cast Pharaoh's chariots and his army into the sea. His chosen captains are sunk in the Red Sea. Yeah, Yahweh gives us the victory, folks. Next, we'll go to Psalm 105. Give thanks to Yahweh. Call on his name. Make his doings known among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. That means consecrated, sacred. Let the heart of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. You offspring of Abraham. That word offspring means seed, literal seed of Abraham, his servant. You children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Doesn't say children of Mugabe in Africa. It doesn't say children of Kim Il-jung or whatever his name is in Korea. It doesn't say children of Jose in Mexico. You children of Jacob, Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Yahweh, our Elohim God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, and confirmed the same to Jacob, for a statute, this Jacob later named Israel, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yes, very few, and foreigners in it, they went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to do them harm. Yes, he reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. When I read Psalm 105, it makes me wonder how the Antichrists, the beast system, how with their great wealth and power were the watchmen, such as Pastor Eli, myself, and many, many others, How is it that we were allowed this opportunity to reach out to our brothers and sisters? As I have said, just this program alone is closing in on 17 years. And then I read these verses in Psalm 105, and then I realize, if he's willing to reprove kings for our sake, and he says, do not harm my anointed ones or my prophets, sort of explains it, doesn't it? You know, a long time ago when I started to speak out about what was going on during the Vietnam War and the political process that was corrupt beyond belief when I was in my 20s and 30s, many people told me to be very careful, especially when the question of the Jews came up, because I was warned that they're powerful people, so be careful. I used to think, wow, maybe I should be more concerned. Maybe I should be more careful. But then I thought, nah, I don't think so. I'll let Father Yahweh worry about that. Because everything I read in the book says that if I focus on him and I do everything humanly possible to love and revere him above all things, if I do everything humanly possible to live according to his law, the law written in the books, the law written in my heart, if I can keep that as pure as possible, then the only thing I need to fear is Yahweh himself. Oh, men can hurt us. That's true. They could. But I'm going to hang on to Psalm 105, Psalm 91, Psalm 21, Psalm 23, etc., etc., etc. Next, we'll go to Isaiah chapter 12. In that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, Yahweh, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, El, or God, is my salvation. Now, the word salvation here in the original is Yahshua. I will trust and will not be afraid, for Yahweh, is my strength and song. He has become my Yahshua, salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to Yahweh. Call on his name. Declare his doings among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to Yahweh, just as Jonathan David Brown did. For he has done excellent things. Let this be known in all the earth. Until the modern age, computers and the internet, how would this be possible? Now it is possible, isn't it? Cry aloud and shout, you inhabitant of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel, which means the Holy One of Jacob and his children, is great among you. Therefore, the importance of calling upon his name, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how we can stress that enough today. We've got so many reports, so much going on, so much disinformation, so many people claiming to have the answers. Well, excuse me, but there is only one answer. Our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Now, some of you Pentecostals and a few other folks, oh no, you got to plead the blood of Jesus. Well, yeah, you do have to plead the blood of Messiah. Nobody's saying that that's not important. But again, my problem comes when we have those out there who would throw away the prophets, throw away the Old Testament, and simply say, I'm a New Testament Christian, which is basically saying that Jesus is my new God. I don't really want to listen to the old one because he's angry. He's a God of war. He's a God of vengeance. He has people put to death. Oh, that's terrible. I have a new God. His name is Jesus, and he just loves everybody. He just loves them to death. Oh, my God. Yeah, bring him over here. Oh, yeah, come here. Come here. I don't care what you've done. Oh, my God. I just love everybody. Can't you just picture that Jesus with his long hair and looking like a hippie? Just sitting on a rock. Yeah, come here. Come here, all y'all. Come over here. Just accept me and you're just okay. Have you ever heard that before? I've heard it. I've heard it in these sickening whitewashed sepulchers called modern day Christian churches, full of dead men's bones. Spiritually speaking, they are dead men. They play church, plead the blood of Jesus, lay hands on people, claim to speak in tongues, even though that word in the original language means to speak with different languages, not some gobbledygook as if it comes from angelic beings, where it makes no sense to anybody. The word is very, very clear that when you speak in tongues, you'll speak in German or French or Austrian or Dutch or whatever. It's a known language that you didn't know before. But there's somebody in the audience who knows that as a native tongue and will understand everything you're saying. That's what the scripture's talking about. It's like, what don't we mess up in the Bible today? It's unbelievable. It's really common sense. Just like tithing. You people out there let some church guilt you into giving 10% of your wages. They might as well take us place over with the IRS and the rest of the money grabbers, the misfits, the antichrists. Our founding fathers would have had muskets and bayonets for people like that. That isn't what the book says. Do you ever read the book? I have to ask that question of a lot of people. Do you ever read the book? Do you actually ever read it? Do you sit there and look at it and say, well, what is it telling me? Do you ever do that? Because sometimes I wonder. Because the book says right there, the tithe was 10% of your increase. It was never 10% of your wages. Your wage is your wage. Where's the increase? Just saying. Somebody explain it to me. Because I don't see it. You got to put some thought, folks, into the scriptures and following the Father. Don't be persuaded with those with a slippery tongue, sweet-sounding words, or coming in the name of the Father. He told you there'd be a lot of false prophets, didn't he? False teachers. Pseudo-prophetes in the Greek. False prophets, false purveyors of Yahweh's word. The truth is really quite simple, and it always brings about peace and prosperity and justice. Judge them by their fruits. Isn't that what he said? Proverbs 6, entitled The Wicked Man, starting at verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Now pay attention, folks. Verse 16. These six things Yahweh hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, Can you, Oregon State Police, and your interlopers that were dressed up to look like you up there in Oregon, do you hear that? You abortion doctors, do you hear that? You men in the military, are you paying attention? You law enforcement officers, you paying attention? Hands that shed innocent blood. 18. A heart that devises wicked plans. Are you paying attention, state capitals? Are you paying attention, Washington, D.C.? Are you paying attention, Pentagon? A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. How about you members of the FBI? How about some of you sheriffs out there? You better check. He who is given much, much is expected. 19. A false witness who speaks lies. When's the last time somebody was put on trial for perjury? You see, we got, what, one or two generations that don't even know that that's a crime. When I was a boy, people were put on trial and sentenced for perjury. Basically, perjury is lying under oath. You take an oath to tell the truth. Because the courtroom is where serious matters and sometimes a person's life hangs in the balance. Ergo, the importance of telling the truth. Ergo, why Yahweh counts it as one of the seven things he considers an abomination. A false witness who speaks lies. You boys in blue, you guys with the badges, what do you call it? Testa lying instead of testifying. You call it testa lying. You make jokes about being on the witness stand and lying. You prosecutors, you judges, lawyers in general, you've got no problem with lying in the courtroom? I told the story when I went to Oklahoma City to testify in a municipal court case for my friend who was being accused of assault. I had eyewitness testimony that was going to clear him of that. And his lawyer, talked to us in the parking lot before going into the courtroom, and he looked at me and said, "Now, Dan, you do understand that in the courtroom, everybody lies." Now, folks, this was not a murder trial. This was a relatively minor case of a neighbor saying that my friend had threatened to assault him. Turned out he was Jewish. Imagine that. So he was lying because I overheard the entire conversation. It was actually the Jew who threatened my friend. But I could not imagine that this late 30s, mid 40s lawyer dressed up in a three-piece suit, claimed to be a Christian in a very Christian community in the suburbs of Oklahoma City, and he would look at me and tell me. In fact, I asked him to repeat that. I said, "Please, I believe I heard you wrong, but would you say that again?" And he said, "Everybody in the courtroom lies. You want to know what happened to America? There, in a nutshell, is it. Our police, our judges, our lawyers think it's okay to lie. As if there's no punishment for liars." Unbelievable. And last but not least, of the abominable things that Yahweh hates, the one who sows discord among brethren. Wow. Wow. There are a bunch of people in that one. So just those few verses from Proverbs 6 speaks a lot, doesn't it? We wonder why we're in the fix we're in. It's because we can't unite over anything. We're too busy beating each other up. Praise Yahweh that he is faithful to those that love him, even in the midst of this absolute calamity that we find ourselves in. It was encouraging to see that our European brethren are rising up to defend their women folk. Praise Yahweh, there's still some testosterone left in this world. I thought the Jews had pretty much run it out of us with their poisons in the vaccines, their poisons in our food and air and water. I thought they pretty much eliminated it. So praise Yahweh, he's true to some. Go, brothers and sisters, go. Over in Europe, at least, they're learning. I got news for you, too. A military man told me here recently that what you see happening in Europe is only about 6 months. There'll be a six-month hiatus before it happens here in the United States. So better make up your mind, men, what you're going to do when they start raping and assaulting your ladies here in the United States. What are you going to do? You going to be the pansies hoping that the feds or the state guys will take care of it? First of all, even if they had a heart to do it, there's not enough of them. But they're more politicians than they are actual protectors of the public. Protect and serve on the side of their car doesn't mean you and me, people. It means protect and serve the powers that be. My grandfather told me that when I was a little boy, so you're going back over 50 years. My grandfather understood. He said, they're there to protect the people in charge. It's only a occasional instant where they'll actually come to our aid if they have the time or if they're not busy doing something else. But the primary function is to uphold the powers that be. Basically a private army for your city government, state government, county government. And now even the feds have their own police, which is basically an army. Amazing, isn't it? Everything is actually very simple, folks. When you boil it down, it's very simple what's going on. It's called disobedience. We, his sons and daughters, are in complete disobedience to our Heavenly Father. Now, as I stated in an earlier program, there are some amongst us that think that this is all strictly a DNA thing. They preach what we call a racial identity message, basically that only white people are to benefit from Yahweh's law. Really? Where does it say that? Well, they may pull a verse or two out here, but, you know, I can also pull verses out. For instance, those who bless Abraham shall be blessed, and those that curse Abraham shall be cursed. Well, who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Just white people? Or is he talking about other people too? The woman that came for assistance for her daughter when Christ was at the well in the book of Matthew. And he ignored her. In fact, at one point he called her a dog and said she wasn't worthy of the children's bread. So here was a woman in need, and her need was a child that was in trouble. So you have two of the biggest items that pull on the heartstrings of people, children and the weaker vessel, our ladies, physically speaking, not spiritually speaking. The weaker vessels, both of them were in this instance, and Messiah ignored her until what? Until she said, don't dogs deserve crumbs from their master's table? What was that an admission of? It was an admission that Yahweh has created a hierarchy on this earth, and she recognized it. And was not fighting that hierarchy. She was simply asking for a blessing. What's that tell you, people? I've witnessed it myself. In fact, some of the strongest people of faith, some of the strongest people who are against what's happening here in the United States and the other white nations of this world, are not DNA white people. Explain that one to me, folks. Oh, are you going to tell me they don't matter? I'm here to tell you they do matter. And you're going to find out why here real soon. Let me grab a letter from the mailbag that was sent to me a few days ago. Brother Garrett. Because I think what he writes to me about here is somewhat common amongst our people. Hi, Pastor Dan. I've been listening to your talk show shows and Eurofolk Radio for about a year and a half. I found the truth through growing despair of attending Judeo-Christian church and disagreeing with their sermons. Hallelujah! That's how I came to know my identity. I was fed up of trying all the so-called Protestant denominations, and I've even been to a few Catholic services, and they for sure weren't answering any questions, but neither were the Protestant churches. Continuing, I happened to find Eli James's Anglo-Saxon-Israel website, and I've been trying to do the will of Yahweh ever since. Thank you for all you do. I was reaching out to you to ask a question pertaining to my wife. We were married this past October and have a child on the way. Casually, one day, she mentioned that her great-grandmother told her that she was Native American blood that she has Native American blood in some distant relative. I felt like my heart sank when she told me this. She has blonde hair, green eyes, and has a German last name. There is no way of telling that she has any Native American in her. I have been on fire lately with the message, but this popped up again when I was listening to one of Eli's shows, where he was talking about race mixing being evil, which I now agree with after reading the Bible. I don't know what to do. I have prayed for forgiveness, but I feel anxious and on edge about this. Can you help me figure this out? I also would like to know if you know of any identity people in central Iowa. It seems almost impossible to meet anyone in person who has the true message. It seems as if all the churches today are Baal churches. Oh, they certainly are. Anyway, thank you again for all that you do. I hope to be able to spread the truth like you do to others who are lost. Yahweh bless. Now, this has been an ongoing thing for a very long time. The consternation amongst our brothers and sisters over the purity of our blood. I've even had some people say, we don't know who's who anymore. Really? Are you kidding me? We have the ability to test DNA now, so that's totally ridiculous. But even without that, because DNA testing is not 100% accurate, please let me say that again. You see all these damn cop shows and all these lawyer shows on TV. I'm sick to death of them, by the way, because all they are is propaganda tools to condition you that people in badges and uniforms are always right, always after a bad guy, and they have the right to violate the Constitution and our rights to privacy and the protection of our domiciles, etc., because after all, they're after bad guys. And all of these restrictions just get in the way. And it's also to promote the fallacy that DNA testing is proof. No, it's not. Unless it's infallible, it's not proof. It can be a item brought before a proper jury for them to consider, but it doesn't prove anything. It's unbelievable. But now you know why they put so many of these damn shows on the television. Now, this issue of our blood has come up many times, and our Heavenly Father gave us the answer to this question. You can look upon the exterior and tell a lot about a person's heritage. That's true. That's true. Facial features, color of skin. Obviously, there are some people who are not of our race, our genus. But he said, judge them by their fruits. When the disciples brought that up, he said, judge the tree by the fruit of that tree, did he not? Good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. And yes, David, I saw the posting. So there he gave you one of the things to judge people by, because he said don't be unequally yoked, not only racially, but spiritually. We are not to be unequally yoked. Now, Brother David James, who hosts Saxon's Creed, by the way, on Eurofolk Radio, just sent me a posting here saying that many of the native tribes were white, and that's where I was heading with this conversation. I've read many, many books on this subject. One of the best books, if you want to get a real eye-opener, is go down to your library and get a book called The Tennessee. And it's talking about colonial America along the Tennessee River. And it tells the story of a Welshman, one of my kin, probably, who had been captured by Indians in the Tennessee Valley. And they had taken him back to their camp. And they tied him up while they were discussing what to do with him. And they were speaking perfect Welsh, a Gaelic tongue. Imagine that. Imagine that. Indians in buckskin clothing and living in long huts. They didn't all live in teepees. Especially the eastern two-thirds of the United States. They lived in towns. They built homes. They had lodges. Amazingly, built on the same basic design as those same villages in England. And yet, television would have you all say they all look like the red men living in teepees out in the West that came across from Asia. Most of the Indians in the eastern two-thirds did not come from Asia. They came from Europe. So they had this guy captured and had him tied up, and they ended up letting him go because he spoke their language. He answered them in their own tongue. And they were so befuddled by that, they cut him loose and let him go. And he went back and told the story. And that story is what you see in the book called The Tennessee Today. That's not the only story. There are lots of stories. In fact, you can read the works of Stephen Collins, the biblical archaeologist. And he writes extensively on the travelings of the Israelites. And he'll tell you, Israelites were here 3,500 years ago. Did you hear that? For you people that are poor with math, that's 1,500 years before Christ came. They were in North America mining copper, gold, silver, tin, iron, and even trees, some of the timber that we had in our thick forests. And they were taking it in trireme ships, huge wooden vessels, back to the Mediterranean area and to Northern Europe and England. Isn't that amazing? So some of those people did like Israelites have done for thousands of years. They stayed behind and formed colonies. For instance, the Mandan Indians of the Ohio Valley, their mounds, their burial mounds, and the layout of their villages is identical to the burial mounds and villages of the Celts and the other peoples living in Western Europe of the same time frame. The evidence is everywhere. Las Lumas stone that has the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments etched in three ancient tongues, Phoenician Hebrew being one of them, is found in New Mexico, out in the southwest of the United States. Kennewick Man that was found up in Washington State, dated approximately 7,000 years ago. Kennewick Man, 7,000 years, according to the scientists. And he's what? Oh, well, we're not supposed to know that, but he's a white guy. He's a Caucasian that was exploring in Washington State 7,000 years ago. Our people have been all over this planet. We are the explorers. We've traveled in our ships around this globe for thousands and thousands of years. So when somebody says, I have Native American in me, what's that mean? Because Are you talking about the white settlers that stayed here thousands of years ago and sort of developed separately from their kinsmen back in Europe? Most certainly. So when Europe became industrialized and they started wearing fancy hats and clothing and everything, the ones that stayed back here decided to stay closer to nature, didn't they? With their buckskin clothing and their homes made of all earthen materials, they actually did a better job of respecting Mother Earth than their kinsmen did in Europe, didn't they? Oh, yeah, and we called them savages. We called them savages. Really? And they say, well, yeah, but they were fighting each other. Okay, what do you call the French fighting the English, fighting the Germans, fighting the Danes, fighting the Finns, fighting the Vikings? What the hell do you call that? So that justifies our coming into this country and annihilating the Native Americans, many of whom were our kinsmen, so that some money-grabbing, rich, Jew-infested northerners could take their property and their lands? Nothing new under the sun, just like Solomon said. We've been raping and robbing our own kinsmen because some Jew standing in the background, some banker, says, I'll give you the power. I'll give you the money for your army. I'll help you buy the muskets and the wagons and the horses. I'll help you buy the swords. Just go get them dirty Native Americans. Yeah, they're savages. They don't know how to fire a musket. They didn't develop a railroad system. They're savages. Can't you just hear it? Can't you just see that boardroom with the Jew bankers standing around going, man, look at all the wealth out there. Look at all those lands that those Indians are on with all the furs and the oil and the minerals. And we need to put our railroads in there. After all, commerce is everything, because commerce is what decides what is civilized, right? Can't you just see it? I can. It's easy to picture. Greedy white men. Greedy traitors to their own people. Even General Custer couldn't stand not getting the glory and set out on his own and ended up getting massacred, didn't he? And we all idolize this guy, and yet he was a pompous ass and so full of himself he didn't want to wait and follow orders from the higher command. He decided to strike out on his own for the glory of it all. Well, that afternoon didn't go so well for Custard and his men, did it? But overall, the Native Americans didn't have the ability to fight the quote white man, the civilized Europeans that came here, and their Jewish bankers, because they didn't have the resources. They had the spirit. They had the right spirit. And they certainly had enough testosterone to fight. They just didn't have the numbers. Oh, wait a minute. I'll be damned. That sounds familiar. That's right. National Socialist Germany. Had the right idea, had the right spirit, just couldn't outproduce the other whites who followed the leadings of the Jews by the name of Eisenhower, Truman, Marshall, Schiff, Loeb, and all the Jew bankers, fellow Jews. They held the sway, and they used their media to convince us that the Germans were nasty Huns. Oh, yeah, they need to die. Just like the Native Americans that were sitting on land we wanted. Just like the Native Americans who had possessions of the things that we want. We'll go after them, only this time it's those nasty Germans, because they're outproducing us. Their engineers are better than our French and English engineers. They're outproducing us. So, oh, that's right. Let's drag up the Lusitania incident, which happened years before that, and we'll plaster it all over the media, and we'll turn these fellow Germans, fellow Europeans, we'll turn them into bloodthirsty butchers and go after and destroy our enemy, the Germans, because after all, the Germans will never let us back in because they figured out we're the ones who were raping and robbing their nation, and they took our businesses away from us and gave them back to Germans. So let's kill all the Germans. Well, how are we going to do that? Oy vey, they're pretty damn good soldiers. Oh, but if we convince the French and we convince the English, and then we have our own buddy there, Roosevelt, in America, and his fellow Jewish bankers, they'll help us, and we'll destroy those nasty Germans. Do you see this? Same scenario. We think they were bad guys because they lost. The only reason the Germans lost, the only reason the Native Americans lost, for one, the Native Americans weren't completely unified. Not completely. Perhaps if they were, it might have been a little different story, but they weren't completely unified. So divide and conquer. We simply could outproduce them. Same thing happened to the Germans and Austrians in World War II. Same thing happened to the Japanese in World War II. We outproduced them. Somehow that makes us right. Somehow that makes us civilized. And we believe all the stories that the media prints about the enemy. And people say, oh, Dan, it's just atrocious. Who in the hell can believe that? We're not that stupid. Oh, really? What did Saddam Hussein do to you and your children that you would allow the U.S. military to obliterate that country and murder Saddam Hussein? What did he do to you? The answer? Absolutely nothing. No, you authorized the bombing and murder of all those Iraqis because the media told you he was a bad guy. The same media that told you that Muammar Gaddafi was a bad guy, and you cheered at his death. You didn't know a damn thing about that man. You didn't know a damn thing about Saddam Hussein either. You only know what the Jew media tells you. And you allowed our men-at-arms to go in and murder hundreds of thousands of innocent people. It just goes on and on and on. Is anybody else getting a little sick of this tune? It's played over and over and over, and we fall for it every stinking time. The media tells you that the men at that refuge in Oregon are gun-toting anarchists and extremists, and you cheer when a caravan of two cars carrying defenseless people are put upon by a much larger, heavily equipped force, and one of the ranchers is murdered in cold blood, and you buy it because the Jew media tells you they're bad guys because they're not going along with the program. You know, the New World Order, the Jewish program, so they deserve to die. And you buy it. You simpletons buy it. You know, Yahweh gave us a brain. He expects us to use it. I know you would really like it to not be so, but yeah, he expects you to use it. Brother David here says, too, that the Indians are not as the Jews portray them on TV and movies. Oh, yeah, I know that. Because if you look at a new version of a program about Genghis Khan, he looks like an Oriental. And yet when I was a boy, guess who played Genghis Khan back in the 50s and 60s? John Wayne. Yeah, John Wayne sure as hell isn't an Oriental, and neither was Genghis Khan. But it goes on and on. It goes on and on. Our people love being lied to. They just want to believe the lie. They want to go along to get along. Just keep feeding me. Keep tickling my ears, you know. I love that. I love those lies. They allow me to do whatever I want. As long as you keep paying me. Yes, that's what our military and law enforcement are doing. Not all of them, praise Yahweh. I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes here about a constitutional sheriff. And that's what we need. And praise Yahweh, I think there's approximately 600 members of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association. which we heartily support, because they are trying to awaken their fellow officers to their true constitutional and moral duty. Let's stress that. Not just constitutional, a moral duty. Now, we have the story here of a particular sheriff who was able to stop the feds from harassing a raw milk farmer. Oh, my God. They were selling raw milk the way God made it? I can't think of a more disastrous thing that the feds ought to be involved in. Somebody actually defying the juice system of over-pasteurizing of product until it's absolutely useless to the human body. Somebody had the audacity to do it Yahweh's way. Oh, my God. Send them in. Make sure they're loaded up with automatic weapons and body armor, because you never know. They might squirt milk at them. They might take some of that raw milk and throw it at them. So you guys better have your helmets on and your masks and your shields. Yeah, what, 50 of you to one or two of the farmers? Isn't that the odds you guys like? What misfits. I'm telling you, what misfits. Unbelievable. But we have a sheriff in Indiana who stepped in and said, no, I don't think so. Sheriff Brad Rogers of Elkhart County in Indiana. Actually, I lived not too far from there for a good while, up in Michigan. But Elkhart County, Indiana, actually has a sheriff with some testosterone left in him. And he decided that the feds were out of line. If only the governor and sheriff of Oregon were of equal moral background. Maybe Lavoie Finnegan would still be alive. Maybe the other gentleman wouldn't have taken a bullet in the shoulder. Maybe those young girls that were riding in the car wouldn't have been scared to death. Maybe the American people wouldn't have so much animosity towards brutally murdering an innocent man. Maybe the American people would have more faith in our, quote, government and the thugs that run around in these uniforms with badges. And I'm not pointing a finger at the ones that actually know their duty constitutionally. I'm pointing a finger at the ones that go along for the pay. I'm pointing a finger at the ones who, in their heart of hearts, know that what they're doing is wrong, but after all, they got a pension to worry about. I've heard guys in the military give me the same sorry-ass excuse. Well, you know, I've got 20 years in and a pension. I can't make waves. Really? So our country's going to hell in a handbasket, but you're worried about your pension? Have you ever thought about when this thing collapses, there aren't going to be any pensions? Look what's happening already to Social Security. The bastards have been spending our Social Security as fast as we were sending it in. So those of us that have paid into it our entire lives are already trying to figure out ways not to give it to us. Why? Because the money's been spent. They never put it into a special account for us as they promised. Imagine that, they lied. Somebody from the government, their lips are moving. Generally, they're lying. And people say, well, you sound anti-government. No, I'm anti-liar. I'm anti-theft. I'm anti-rape. I'm anti-murder. And when those items apply to somebody in government, then that, I guess, would make me anti-government. If the government is doing those things, last time I checked in the Bible, it says that we're to resist evil with all of our heart, body, mind, and soul. Well, that's pretty complete, isn't it? Heart, body, mind, soul. I'm supposed to use everything that makes me who I am to resist evil. How do you guys sleep at night? That's one of the things that really kind of makes me wonder. How do you people who know the truth, how do you sleep? What book do you go by? What code of honor do you go by? You know, I'm told the police have, the coat of blue or blue coat or whatever, where they stick up for each other. Well, that's respectable. You should stick up for, you're a brotherhood. You have a dangerous job. You should stick. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, though. When that code says that you're to lie on the witness stand, now you've gone to the other side, folks. Yeah, I've had you look at me and tell me that it's okay. Oh, wait a minute. You're a police officer, but it's okay to lie? In what universe is that true? You can rationalize it away, folks. Or as the old saying goes, you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. Do you understand what that means? There's a reason that your conscience is gnawing at you, those of you that have a conscience. And I realize there's a few of you out there that don't have one. David just said in here that the Pope says that we should be building bridges and not walls. Well, he's right to a degree. We should be building bridges amongst our brethren as far as believers. But building bridges with the other races who are hedonistic, pagans, rapers, murderers, no. We do need to build walls for those folks. And we need to hang them from those walls. You want to come into my community and commit rape? We're going to hang you from the wall. You want to come into my community and commit murder? We're going to hang you from the wall. You want to come into my community and lie in a court case that involves a capital crime, which means that the person found guilty will be sentenced to death? You lie in that court case, you are sentenced to death. That's God's law. Isn't it simple? Doesn't it make perfect sense? If you're willing to lie in a court case that would have a person executed, then you are guilty of murder. Perfect sense. And what's the punishment for committing murder? Execution. What's the punishment for committing rape? Execution. What's the punishment for committing treason? Last time I checked, it's execution. What's the punishment for committing kidnapping? Oh, yeah. Execution. And I want to remind something, too. You people in uniform, whether you're military or law enforcement, there's a reason they call it being taken into custody. It means when you deprive a man or woman of their liberty, you're to do it according to the organic laws of that nation, which means you better have probable cause, you better have a warrant. But even with that, when you take that man or woman into custody, depriving them of their God-given liberty, you are responsible for their well-being. That's what custody means. When you give a parent custody of a child, isn't that the implication? You're responsible for their well-being. It's no different for you folks in uniforms. When you deprive a person of their liberty, you have taken their safety on as your responsibility. And if you do not see to their safety, you are accountable. And it doesn't matter if you're a judge, a lawyer, a governor, a person from the Fed. It doesn't matter. If your name's on the paperwork, and there better be a name on paperwork, without a name and without paperwork, it's unlawful. When your name goes on that paper, for that person being taken into custody, you are therefore responsible for their safety, because the presumption is innocent until proven guilty in front of a proper jury. And that person that goes by the title judge, that should be thrown out. They are not the judge. The jury is the judge. The person we call judge is a referee. In fact, take those damn robes off, because that's what the preachers used to wear when they stood for the law of God. You shouldn't be in robes. You should be wearing a uniform that looks a lot like the referee at the football games. Put on a striped shirt and a dark pair of slacks, because that's all you are. I know you bastards think you're God, but no, you're not. You're a public servant like everybody else. And your job in that courtroom is to referee the two teams opposed to each other, the accuser and the accused. You've turned our courts into a joke, a laughing joke. You pompous asses. If Yahweh gave me the scepter today, you people would be out of work. We'd put real referees in there from the public and not lawyers. You wouldn't wear robes as if you're somehow reverends, closer to God, infallible. No, you're not. Put on a striped shirt, because that's all you are. A referee to make sure there's rules of conduct in the courtroom and that both parties have ample opportunity to present evidence and witnesses on their behalf. And it's none of your damn business. You're not there to persuade the jury one way or the other, or to obfuscate evidence. Evidence is evidence. No wonder the rest of the world thinks we're a laughing stock. The very institutions that were established that made us different in this world, that set us on a path for righteous growth and expansion, has been turned inside out. Our courtrooms are an absolute abysmal joke. Our legal system, again, joke. We deserve to be laughed at. We honestly do. What a shame. An absolute and utter shame. I had a whole lot of other things I wanted to talk about, and I apologize. I got on a bit of a rant, but boy, I'm just fed up. I am just so fed up with the depravity, the lying, the corruption, and especially you prostitutes in the media. Oh my God, you're disgusting. The American people had grown to think that the journalists and the papers and the newscasters, etc., were here to aid the people in having knowledge so that they could make wise decisions, and you were turned into a tool of the gangsters. You're just mouthpieces for the vermin of this world. Yahweh curse your sorry asses too. And you preachers out there, you're another group. Having the signs of piety, the signs of religiosity, and all you are whores and prostitutes, preaching the Jewish version of the scriptures instead of what Christ actually said, teaching their version, because after all, they're God's chosen. Well, they are. Obadiah verse 18 says what they're chosen for, but it's not what you're telling the people. Apparently, we're on the verge of World War III, thanks to the Jewish international bankers and their pushing of the Turks against the Russians. They'll soon turn that into a full-scale conflagration. And from everything I've read, I hate to tell you this, people, because your Jewish programmers at the local media and TV stations are trying to tell you that the Turkish army and our coalition is the righteous ones and the Russians aren't. But geez, their lips are moving. Oh, they're lying. Russia's on much higher moral ground than we could ever hope to be. Again, my European brothers and sisters who are fighting against the refugee invasion of your nations, you're a step ahead of us, but Yahweh bless your hearts. You have enough courage to take a stand and do what's right, regardless of the prostitutes in your government. Eli and Andrew were talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares. How appropriate. It says Yahweh will gather up the tares. We don't need to worry about that, do we? We have the tools to determine who's who amongst us. But I love that analogy, perfect analogy that our Father gave us, because a tare stands up straight, unlike wheat, which is bent over heavy with golden fruit. The tare sticks up straight with black, toxic seeds at the very end, just before the harvest. Our enemies are standing straight up. Their words are toxic seeds to all of mankind. Their deeds are toxic seeds to all of mankind. May Yahweh and his sickle come quickly. It was also mentioned that this identity message, I don't use the term Christian identity. To me, that's a misnomer. It's simply identity, because we identify who's who. Not just who the covenant people are, but everybody else. Our masters, our antichrists, are going to try to turn us into a cashless society, and if you think that's for your benefit, you're dumber than a box of rocks. The banking failures, they're coming, just a question of when. I hope you're getting back to basics and preparing, folks. The biblical message is segregation. And how do you know that? Well, because the antichrists push for integration. And yet in nature, animals segregate. When left to our own devices, people segregate to be amongst their own kind, their own language, their own faith. It's a natural occurrence. It's unnatural to force integration. Our enemy constantly wants to do everything anti-Yahweh, anti-Christ. You know, there's a saying that goes, the truth stands on its own. It takes the force of government to promote a lie. And just that one saying alone takes the whole Holocaust industry and exposes it for the fraud that it is. Even without that saying and its common sense approach to the story, the fact that the whole Holocaust industry is run by none other than nefarious Jews ought to be enough to tell you that it's a hoax. Just like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Really? Poverty? Law? Run by filthy rich Jews? All their lawyers are Jews? And it's a law center? Oh, Talmudic law. Why don't you put that in the title? The Southern Poverty Talmudic Law Center. Because that would be much more accurate. Oh, but then that would be honest. You can't have that. So stick with the name. You're right. You want to hide. You do that with everything you do. You hide. That's just like the ADL. They don't ever come out and say Anti-Defamation League of Jews. Anti-saying anything to expose dirty, rotten, filthy, stealing, raping, robbing Jews. We just shortened it to Anti-Defamation. As if we care about defamation of character of everybody. No, they don't. They only care about if you defame a Jew. It's a Jewish organization. But then again, white people really don't think much, so you can get away with stuff like that, can't you? You can get away with murder in America today because Americans have forgotten how to think. They only know how to be emotional. That was the whole purpose of 9/11. Oklahoma City, Waco, Texas, Ruby Ridge, and whatever they got planned next. It's because when you do something like that, the Americans turn on their emotions. And when they turn them on, they turn off their brains. It's a sad statement. I want to close a little bit earlier today because I want to play a song by Carl Klang. Can't You Feel the Kingdom Coming? How appropriate. Just as much as Jonathan David Brown's song, Call Upon the Name. This is off of Carl Klang's album called Selah, which is, of course, Psalms, songs or Psalms. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to speak with our brothers and sisters around the world. It is time for us to wake up, folks. But Father Yahweh, our people have a problem. We are stiff-necked to a fault. We are full of ourselves. We have tunnel vision, and we have forgotten our first love. May thy spirit pour out upon all these people, Father. May they open their eyes. May they seek you. May they repent of their wrongdoing, that we might come together again as a family who loves you above all things on this earth. Give us the answers, the true answers, as you said. The truth shall set us free, not lies, not misinformation, and sure as hell not government. You and you alone and your truths, they are all that matter. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. His trump will sound, his fire will flash, as lightning shines from east to west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings.